invite you to please get your Bibles and turn them to the book of Mark. And we will read Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Mark chapter 3, verse 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible Word, and may God Himself add His divine blessing to it. Boys and girls, today is Pentecost Sunday, on which we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Now, what I will do in this message is look at the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. This kind of sin is what we call the unpardonable sin. It is the kind of sin that will not and cannot be forgiven by God. Let's read Mark chapter 3, verse 29 again. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. In other words, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a sin that cannot be forgiven. It is a sin of eternal damnation. Now, let me give you 7 observations about this unforgivable sin. Here's the first one. This sin is specifically against the Holy Spirit. Now, notice what it says in Mark chapter 3, verse 29. He that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness. So Mark 3:29 does not say whoever blasphemes against God the Father, nor does it say whoever blasphemes against the Son of God. No, instead, it specifically says whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this kind of sin is specifically against the third person of the Trinity. As Luke says in chapter 12, verse 10, you may want to go there. Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Luke chapter 12, verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. So first observation, this sin is specifically against the Holy Spirit. Second observation, this sin is described as blasphemy. Now, what is blasphemy? Well, notice what Luke says in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. Here we see that to speak a word against and to blaspheme are the same thing. They are synonymous. And so to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to speak a word against Him or to speak evil of Him. Therefore, blasphemy is a sin in the form of words. It is a verbal sin when you speak evil of the Holy Spirit. Third observation. This sin is committed when you accuse Jesus of doing his work by the power of Satan rather than by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, please read Mark chapter 3. Let's go back to Mark chapter 3, verse 28 and the following verses. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Why? Because they said, "He," that is Jesus, "has an unclean spirit." Now, who are those who are saying that Jesus has an unclean spirit? Well, let's see the context. In verses 10 and 11, Jesus healed many people and cast out unclean spirits. Then, according to verse 22, the scribe accused Jesus of driving out demons by the power of Satan. And so, look at what Mark says in verse 22. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He," that is Jesus, "has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casts he out devils." What an accusation! Now, Beelzebub is another name for Satan, who is the prince of demons. So really, the accusation of the scribes here is this, that Jesus has Satan within him. And notice the response of Jesus in verse 23. Verse 23, "And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? You scribes, you are accusing me," says Jesus, "that I cast out evil spirits, demons, by the power of Satan. But how can Satan cast out Satan?" Then let's jump to verses 28, 29, and 30. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. "Verily I say unto you," says Jesus, "all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemes wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Why? Because they said, "He," that is Jesus, "has an unclean spirit." And so here's the question. When is it that you commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Answer, when you charge Jesus with having an unclean spirit. Or to use the words of verse 22, when you accuse Jesus of being possessed by Beelzebub or by Satan. Or when you accuse Jesus of performing miracles, healing and casting out demons by the power of Satan. Now, why then does Jesus refer to this sin as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit if this sin is against him? Because remember the context. The scribes are accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of the devil. If that's the case, why does Jesus refer to this sin as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Well, because Jesus performed all His miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of Satan. And so, when the scribes accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan, they were by implication attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan. To attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan is to call the Holy Spirit the devil. And this is utterly blasphemy. To say that Jesus cast out demons by Satan, the prince of demons, is an insult to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus cast out demons. To give the credit to Satan rather than to the Holy Spirit is a blasphemy. It is an utter disrespect to call the work of the Spirit the work of the devil. That's why when the scribes accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of the devil, Jesus pointed to them, "You are committing this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You disrespected the Holy Spirit, by whose power I performed all my miracles. You are calling my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the devil." Fourth observation, this sin is an eternal sin. Look at Mark 3 verse 29 again, please. "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation," or is guilty of an eternal sin. One version puts it this way. The one who commits this kind of sin will never be forgiven because he has committed an eternal sin. Eternal sin. Matthew 12 verse 32 says, "Whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come, in this life or in that life which is to come." Now you might ask, why is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit an eternal sin? The simple answer is this: because this kind of sin is demonic, satanic. And we know that there is no forgiveness for Satan and all his followers, the fallen angels, all the demons. I remember when I was in the Philippines, someone said, "Why don't we pray for the conversion of Satan? Conversion of all the fallen angels, all the demons. So that once Satan gets converted, then evil will stop. No one will spread evil." And I know some of you boys and girls may have thought of that. Sounds good, but it will never happen. There is no forgiveness for Satan. There is no forgiveness for all the fallen angels, all the demons. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an eternal sin because it is demonic, satanic. No forgiveness. They have committed an eternal sin, those who have committed this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Fifth observation, this sin is committed deliberately and willfully. Let's read Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Please follow me. I want you to see it with your own eyes when I read, because this is a heavy, very serious topic. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered or crippled hand. And they, referring to the Pharisees, watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him intentionally. Now, this is the context here. And therefore, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, as someone said, is not a sin which one can commit by accident and without knowing it. Those who have committed this sin are very much aware of it. Those who have committed this sin are aware of what they are doing, but they are spiritually insensible. Indeed, so insensible that they even take pride and delight in what they have done against Jesus Christ and against the Holy Spirit. Someone explained it this way. This sin is a continued and obstinate rejection of the gospel, and hence is an unpardonable sin, simply because as long as a sinner remains in unbelief, he voluntarily excludes himself from pardon. Those who have committed this sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, they do not want to be prayed for. Number six, sixth observation. This sin cannot be committed by a true Christian. Yes, we believers in Christ can grieve the Holy Spirit, but grieving the Holy Spirit is different from blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. When we sin, we bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. We grieve Him. But if we are true believers in Christ, our sin should also bring sorrow to us. We should also be grieved by our own sin. And I will challenge you. If you are a true child of God, sin. And if you want to indulge in sin, then keep sinning. But let me tell you this. If you are a true believer, you will not really find delight in continuing in sin. Your sin will bother you because you have the Holy Spirit who will convict you of your sin. Your sin will only bring grief to you. It will not and will never make you happy. Like David, who felt extreme sadness in his soul after sinning against God, after he had committed murder and adultery. Listen to his prayer in Psalm 51. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Why would he pray that? Because he has lost his joy. He has lost that gladness, the joy of salvation. Because sin can rob us of that joy that we have in the Lord. And so David, he prays, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Now, of course, God will never do that to His child. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But that sin blinds us to that blessed, glorious truth, to the point that we become afraid, so afraid that we think that God is now going to leave us and forsake us because of our sin. And that's why David prays here, "Cast me not away from your presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Of course, God will never withdraw His Spirit from His children. Now, we learn about that, the idea of withdrawing. The blessing, yes, God can withdraw His blessing, but never the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Holy Spirit. We cannot lose the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot lose us either. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But again, that sin makes us think that somehow we're going to lose our blessed Holy Spirit. And so David prays here, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." You see, here's the point. When there is sin, there is sorrow for us Christians. David's sin brought sorrow to his soul. It disturbed his born-again soul. And so he cried out to the Lord, "Blot out all my iniquities. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And why did he pray this, by the way? Because he felt convicted of his sin. And who convicted him of his sin? Our glorious, blessed Holy Spirit. And that's why, when you repent of your sin, that's an indication that you have the Holy Spirit within you. It is a gift from the Lord to be convicted of our sin and to ask for forgiveness, because by nature we are full of pride. By nature we are stubborn. By nature, we think that we are right and God is wrong. And so the moment you acknowledge your sin, the moment you admit that you are a sinner, the moment you pray with this tax collector, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," that in itself is a gift from God, because you know very well that the reason why you are crying out to God is because of the Holy Spirit's work in your heart. Matthew 5 verse 4 says, and this is part of that sermon by Jesus Christ, the so-called the Beatitude, Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." What does it mean? That those who mourn are happy. Well, those who mourn over their sin will be happy, because they will be comforted by the Holy Spirit. And David was comforted by the Holy Spirit. And that's why, I want you to listen to this, please. Be concerned if you do not grieve or sorrow over your sin. If you are sinning, if you are living in sin, and there is no sense of conviction of sin in your heart, something is wrong with you. Be alarmed. Be concerned. Could it be that you don't have the Holy Spirit within you? Those who have committed the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, do not lament. Do not sorrow over their sin. They do not feel convicted of sin. They are never really sorry for their sin. No remorse, no regret for what they have done against the Holy Spirit. Instead, they even enjoy the evil that they are engaged in. Now, as you are listening to this message, you are probably beginning to be afraid, to feel worried, thinking that you may have committed this sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so you are deeply troubled right now, silently. Oh no, what if I have committed this sin, this unpardonable sin? Well, listen to this. Those who have committed this sin will not feel troubled. So if you are troubled that you may have committed this sin, that's a sign that you have not committed this sin. Let me illustrate my point. Let's say we had two persons. One is dead, one is alive. How do you know? And both of them are lying on the floor, on their bellies. How do you know if one is alive and one is dead? Well, there are many ways, of course, to find out. But what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to put a sack of rice, 50 pounds, on each of them. Maybe even 100 pounds or 200 pounds, depending on the size of the person. So let's say 100 pounds of sack of rice. Put it on that person. And then on the other one. The one who is dead will not say anything, will not cry out for help, will not complain, nothing, like, no, it's as if nothing happened. But the one who is alive will feel that burden, will feel that weight that has been placed on him, and will begin to cry out for help, help, help! The same is true. How do you know if you are spiritually dead? How do you know that you have committed this sin of blasphemy? Well, if there is no feeling of that burden of sin in you. You have committed sin, but you don't feel the weight of your sin. You don't even feel bothered by your sin. But how do you know if you are spiritually born again of God? How do you know if you have spiritual life? How do you know that you are alive in Christ? How do you know? Well, when you feel that burden of sin in you, when you cry out to God and when you say, Lord, please take away the burden of my sin. I don't want to carry it, O Lord. It's so heavy. After all, you cannot carry it on your own. Only God can carry it. One Puritan said, as for the sin against the Holy Spirit, he never sins against the Spirit that fears that he has sinned against the Holy Spirit. If there is fear in you that you may have committed this, that fear simply shows that you have not committed it. Because those who have committed it will not even get bothered by this sin. Last observation. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And I don't want you to miss this. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the only kind of sin that cannot be forgiven. all other sins can be forgiven. Now, notice what Jesus says. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Please read that verse. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Mark 3, verse 28. Verily, or assuredly, I say to you, all sins, not some, but all sins, will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. Now, the word verily here in Greek is amen. Amen. And when you see the word amen at the beginning of a statement, that means reinforcement or emphasis. Jesus wants to emphasize that all sins will be forgiven. What Jesus is saying is this, I can indeed forgive all your sins. I assure you, I am telling you the truth. Amen. I am placing my amen at the beginning of my statement. Trust me, that's what Jesus is saying. All sins, sins against the Ten Commandments. Yes, we should not have no other gods. We become unfaithful to God. Yes, we should not make for ourselves a carved image and bow down to that false and serve that idol. But we violate the second commandment by having our own idols. Your work can be your idol. Your own child can be your idol. If you love your child more than God, whatever you do that becomes more important than the Lord is an idol. We violate the second commandment all the time. If we are honest with ourselves, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Oh, how often we take God's name so loosely. Observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. How many of us on Lord's Day, what do we do? Instead of worshiping the Lord, we would rather go out fishing on Lord's Day. Dishonor. We dishonor our parents. God says, honor your mother and your father. Do not commit murder. Do not kill. Now, of course, this command comes in different forms. John the Beloved says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Abortion is a form of murder. Suicide, taking your own life, is a firm form of a murder. Do not commit adultery. Now, of course, you can commit adultery in your thoughts. Do not steal. We can steal. Are we faithful in submitting our taxes? Do not bear false witness. Oh, how often we gossip. Do not covet. Oh, he has that. I want to have that too. But Jesus says, all these sins can be forgiven. The emphasis is on all sins pardonable, not on that one sin unpardonable. The emphasis of Jesus is not on misery, but on mercy. Not on the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven, but on all sins that can be forgiven. Yes, as one hymn writer says, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness. New every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. David was forgiven. A murderer. An adulterer. But was forgiven by God. You see, all sins can be forgiven. Yes, including blasphemy. But then don't get confused. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Go back to Mark 3 verse 28. Mark 3 verse 28. Mark chapter 3 verse 28. Jesus says, "Verily, amen, assuredly, truly, 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 I'm telling you the truth. I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies," plural, "blasphemies they may utter, all other blasphemies can also be forgiven, except for that one blasphemy against the Holy Spirit." Let us not forget that the Apostle Paul, before his conversion, was also, what? A blasphemer. In his own admission, Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer." I committed blasphemy, Paul says, "a persecutor and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy." You see, all sins can be forgiven. All blasphemies can be forgiven, except for that one, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Paul obtained mercy. I don't want you to despair this morning with this message, because there is mercy for you. There is mercy for you. You know how often we can maybe unknowingly insult God by thinking that He cannot forgive our sin. Now, you think that God cannot forgive you? Why? You think your sin is greater than God? You think God cannot forgive you because you think your sin is so big, so great? But is it infinite? God is infinite. His mercy is infinite. Is your sin infinite? You tell me. You present to God your greatest sin. What is it? God can still forgive it, because His mercy is greater than all your sin. His grace is greater than all your sin. And so in our conclusion, I want to mention this. A true Christian does not focus on Mark 3 verse 29, on one sin that cannot be forgiven, but on verse 28, on all sins that can be forgiven. Why would you focus on this one sin that cannot be forgiven and despair and worry, and now you cannot go to bed peacefully thinking that you might have committed this sin? Why focus on your misery when you can focus on God's mercy? Why focus on your guilt when you can focus on God's grace? Sometimes we are like Adam and Eve, who became more interested in the tree which was in the midst of the garden than in all other trees from which they could eat. Maybe because that one tree was more attractive to them. And so Adam and Eve focused on God's prohibition rather than on God's provision. There are other trees from which they could eat. Why focus on that one tree? Now, don't we do the same also? All other sins, all sins, you name it, whatever sin it may be, can be forgiven, except for that one, that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so don't focus on verse 29. Dwell on verse 28. It's like this. So we just hired a painter to paint this sanctuary. sometimes we have this tendency to focus on one spot, one small spot that the painter forgot to paint. We have this tendency to dwell on that unpainted tiny spot. And we just want to dwell on that and we start complaining, what a terrible painter, whoever painted this, because of that small tiny part that was not painted. Instead of focusing on the bigger picture. See, that's what we need to do. Focus on God's grace, on His mercy, that He is willing to forgive us. And so the issue is not whether God can forgive you all your sins. He can. He can. The issue is whether you believe that He can forgive you. That's the issue. Do you really believe that God can forgive you? Now, every Sunday, using the words of the Apostles' Creed, we recite this beautiful statement, I believe in the forgiveness of what? Sins. That's part of our creed. I confess this. I believe in the forgiveness of all my sins. But I sometimes wonder if we really believe that when we say it. Because if you do, then why don't you come to God for forgiveness? Why? D.L. Moody once said, there are two ways of covering our sins. Man's way, which what Adam and Eve did originally, and God's way. If you seek to hide your sins, they will have a resurrection sometime. But if you let the Lord cover your sins with His blood, neither the devil nor man will ever be able to find them again, because your sins will be buried in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiven and forgotten, cleansed. And so really, this morning, as I said last Sunday, there are two kinds of people this morning. We can divide ourselves into two groups. Those who are forgiven and those who are not forgiven. To which group do you belong? Can you say, yes, I am a sinner, but I am a forgiven sinner. Forgiven by grace, by mercy. And because of that, I thank God and I praise Him. And that's why I am here, to worship Him. I worship Him as a gratitude for what He has done for me in the gospel. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for helping us understand this unpardonable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we thank You also that all other sins can be forgiven. We thank You for Your promise to us that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Oh Lord, thank You for that promise. And if there is anyone in our midst who has not yet felt and experienced the joy of forgiveness from You, I pray that You would use this message to convict that soul, that person, of his or her sin, that they may also come to You in repentance and by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.